that believeth. The four Gospels present Jesus as healer. We see him throughout the Gospels touching people, speaking words into their lives, making the blind see, the lame to walk, the demon to be possessed, to be free of demons, to come back to a fullness of health and strength. We also see a continuation after his resurrection in the church of Jesus Christ. There's some that would say that healing and miracles are something that are confined to just strictly Jesus' ministry and Jesus' work on earth. Yet we see in the book of Acts a continuation. The Gospels are there, and then the account of the Acts is really what happens after Jesus' life, Jesus' resurrection and ascension to the heavens. The church is seen as continuing in giving healing to different ones that come for healing, ones that desire to know God, ones that have a receptivity to receiving from God. And so we can't just say that the miracle of healing, the miracles that Christ performed in our scriptures are confined there, but really it's for the church age. Healing is for the church age and is ongoing. We are given authority to heal as the church. The church is not presuming its power to heal when it seeks to minister divine healing. Let's read together four passages that I've printed on the PowerPoint for us this morning. These telling us and informing us of Christ giving his authority to his disciples, giving his authority to the church to involve themselves in healing ministry. Let's read these together. Luke 9:1. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and cure diseases. Luke 10:9. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Mark 16, verse 15 and 18. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes in their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. And they will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. Sorry, I truncated that a little bit for you. Matthew 28, 18 and 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples. We see clearly here that Jesus gives his authority to his disciples, to his church. The early church did not have some kind of magic trick. They rather had Christ's power and authority charged to their account. It's like our own bank accounts. We got these credit cards. We come up and we give them to, you know, those attendants that want to take our money. And when they take our credit card, if we have money in there, those credit cards are good and we're able to purchase our amount. They have authority to have us purchase and be able to consume whatever we are seeking to buy. Physical healing came as a result of being united with Christ and doing his ministry. In the book of Acts, which is Luke's early historical document, telling us of what happened with these disciples and the ongoing authority that they were given as Jesus' name bearers. The first miracles of the church involve some physical healings. Peter and John, on their way to the temple, met a crippled beggar. The man is requesting money of them. Suddenly, Peter, full of the Holy Spirit, gets the man's attention, and he says these words to him. Let's read together. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. A healing occurs not on the basis of Peter's authority, but on the basis of the authority of Jesus Christ and in his name. That authority is given to Peter as a representative of the church. Consequently, in Acts 4, Peter and John are arrested and have to stand before the Sanhedrin and give answer to this miracle that has happened, that this beggar now stands healed, and people are going, "Wow, what is this? You know, and what is this all about? And who is this Jesus that these ones are preaching about, in whose name this miracle has been done?" Acts 4:10 says this. Let's read. Peter responds, "It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed." This morning, as we think of healing and the authority that God has given to us as a church, prayer is an essential component of that. We see the church gathering. We see the church seeking to connect with God, asking and requesting of God healing for the needs of his church. I was reading a little account of a little girl who was hearing a story of a puppet. And this puppet was dancing around and talking. And she said, "You know, Mom and Dad, I knew it wasn't real. You know, I knew it was fake." And the mom and dad said, "Well, what was it that caused you to think that the puppet was fake?" And the little girl said, "Well, it was when he got up and danced. He didn't have any feet, you know." When we come to our faith, when we seek to believe God and trust God, sometimes we look at the church and we look at the things that the church is doing and saying, "Is it real? Is it, or is it fake? Is it just a show, a put on? Or is God really engaged with this? Is God real for us as the church?" I remember as a young person going on a canoe trip, and I was asking those kind of questions. I didn't know if really God was real or not, but I found it fantastic that on this canoe trip there was some Christians, and these Christians kind of gathered around, and they prayed in such a way as to say that they really believed that God was going to do something in their midst, that God was going to do something for them, and prayed as if they had some kind of personal relationship with this God that had created this universe, that had created the beauty of the river and the mountains and the trees around us. And that just awestruck me, because I just thought church was just people getting dressed up in nice clothes and kind of parading around and shaking hands, and it was just a social function. I just debunked it and thought it was all fake, you know? It wasn't real. But then to see these Christians believing and trusting and praying like God was real convicted me that there was something significantly different about church, about religion, about God. And I wanted that. I wanted a relationship with God. And I wanted it to be real. I wanted it to be significant. And that in tow was what really kind of changed my heart towards Christianity, towards God, towards the church. But really, for us as Christians, we need that all the time in our lives. We need to continually know that God is real. God is dynamic. God is working in our lives and through the church. God has said he's given us authority as the church. But sometimes I think as Christians, we don't take up that authority. We say, well, that was for that bygone age. That was for somebody else, but not for me, not for us in this present day. God says to us by his word that it's for the church today. It's for us today. Do you want to know the reality and the truth of God in your life? We have to come past the show and actually risk and make ourselves awkward and ask God to do something in our lives. Perhaps it's a healing. Perhaps it's a dealing with a problem or an issue in our life. We do that through prayer and asking the most holy God to come down and to do a work in our midst. And so today, as we looked at these texts of Scripture, I'm very much aware that James chapter 5 is an account of in the New Testament, of how we are to pray and how we are to behave as the church in way of prayer for healing in our midst. It says in James chapter 5, and let me read this to you. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? Let them call on the elders of the church to pray over them and to anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And in the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. 6 times in these 6 passages, prayer is mentioned. The significance of prayer in healing is important, as we can see from this text. James taught that there was a right kind of prayer in way of dealing with healing and seeking healing from God. First of all, the believer must pray for himself and ask for prayer from the church leadership. Secondly, elders or church leaders responsible to respond to a request of prayer are to pray and anoint that person with oil. In the Old Testament, oil was significant because it was the mark of the Holy Spirit coming upon the person. It wasn't the significance of the oil, it was a symbolism of what the oil represent of the Holy Spirit's ministry. Thirdly, the assembly is called upon to pray for healing. As a leader is called to pray, the followers follow in suit with what the leader prays. Fourthly, the physical need is tied into the spiritual need for the confessions of sin. The whole church is called to deal with their sin before God. And fifthly, the prayer of the people must be faith-based on the power of God to act on the behalf of physical needs. Like Elijah, he was like us, and he prayed. And the power of God was evident in the rain stopping and starting. Prayer of those rightly connected to God. The righteous are powerful. Elijah's prayer is indeed answered. The church is challenged to pray, to cleanse itself, to exercise faith on the behalf of those that are in need in its community and in its vicinity. The effectiveness of the church's healing ministry really depends on how seriously we take God at his word. How we as a church, elders, deacons, Sunday school teachers, choir directors, people that are in attendance who are sitting in the pew take God seriously and pray for the needs of those that are around them for healing. The healing ministry is really a church-wide affair. Since sickness affects every member of the body of Christ, all the members of the body are indeed affected. So today, as we come to this place and this time, we want to have an occasion where we as the church pray for healing. I've contacted a few people in our church to act as partners with me in leading you in prayers for healing. I've given them vials of oil. Nothing special about the oil. I think it's canola oil, you know, your regular cooking oil, so nothing too fancy. It's not motor oil, so you don't have to worry. It's not, you know, from my transmission or anything like that. It's just canola oil. It's very clean, you know, just right out of the bottle. So nothing significant about the oil, but the significance is we, the church, are praying for individuals and following God's direction and asking in faith and belief that God would indeed heal and touch people in way of their needs, their problems, and issues in their lives. We have a few slides, and Jason, if you can flip up a few slides. These are slides that are related to prayers for the church. The first slide is an acronym. Heather taught me this week is TSPOON, T-S-P. T is for Thanksgiving, S is for sorry, P is for please, so TSPOON. So thank you, Lord. The first one is some things that we as a church can thank God for. Secondly, sorry. We as a church are to confess our sins, saying sorry to God for things that we have done, things that we have not done in way of what he's called us to do as his church. Sins of omission, sins of commission. Next slide. Please, healing for requesting those to have a touch of God upon their life today. Healing of our own hearts and our lives. Healing for those that join in prayer. And healing for our world, both our world that is close to us and our world that is far from us. Our world, as we know, is very broken in ways of war and famine and all kinds of difficulties that people are facing in our day. So I'm wanting to call up those individuals that are partnering with us, and we're just going to line up in the front here. And for the rest of the congregation, we're going to have you stand with us. And we're wanting you to get in groups of two or three people. Introduce yourself to those that are around you in groups of two or three or four. And you guys are going to take opportunity to pray for some of these things that I've given you on the slides. And they'll be flipping through. So maybe the first slide, Jason, you can leave up for a couple of minutes. Then the second slide you can flip after a couple of minutes, and then the third slide we'll finish with, so you're aware of what's going on. So in your groups of three, we don't expect you to all pray. If you feel uncomfortable with praying, you're not quite sure, don't feel that you have to pray, okay? But those of you that would like to pray for these requests, you're more than welcome. And those of you that would like to have prayer for healing, you're welcome to come up to the front and ask one of these groups, okay, I'm joining Peter here, one of these groups of two people up at the front to pray for you. We do have Kleenex so you can wipe the canola oil off your forehead after you're done. Or if you need more Kleenex, our teams do have Kleenex with them that they can give that to you. So this is a time for us as a church to feel awkward, to risk in way of asking God to do something rather than for us to perform or do something in way of God. We're asking God to indeed meet us by his Spirit's work and his ministry, to thank him, to praise him, to say I'm sorry, to say please, please can you do these things in our midst, the TSPOON. So as you feel led, come and come up to the front and ask one of these teams to pray for you. Introduce yourself. Tell us what your relationship is with Christ. Do you know him as your personal Savior? What is your physical need or your spiritual need or your problem you want us to pray for? We'll anoint you with oil, putting a little symbol of a cross on your forehead, and then lay our hands upon you and pray for you. Then after you've been prayed for, you're welcome to go back to your group or where you were sitting before and continue on with the prayers that are here enlisted on the PowerPoint. So I hope that's all clear. If it feels a little bit awkward, that's okay. Welcome that. If you come to the front and everybody's busy up here praying for somebody, just sit in the pew. It's like, you know, you're coming to Tim Hortons. You're waiting for the cashier to come ready. You're just sitting there. When the cashier comes ready, then you go up and you take whatever server's available, okay? So we're not that we're following Tim Hortons' model or anything, but we'll just be directed in that kind of organizational fashion. So please feel free to take time now to pray, and take time if you would like to be prayed for healing, to come forward and be prayed for healing. Would you do that even now? Gather in groups of two, three, four now and say, hey, this is my name. Can we pray together? And pray together some of these prayers, and also welcome to come to the front to be prayed over. Let's do that even now. Would you? wherever you are in your prayers for sake of time. We can continue in the attitude of prayer as we leave this place. It's not having to stop at this point, but we do have another congregation that's wanting to use our sanctuary after we finish today. Would you bow your heads again with me as spend a moment just in prayer, and then we're going to close with a worship song and a benediction. Lord Jesus, thank you for this opportunity we've taken today to offer up our requests to you. We thank you that you are a mighty God and that you say that you hear our prayers. And Lord, we pray ongoingly for our healing and the healing of the nations. Lord, we know that one day we will stand before you in our flesh and give you praise. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings upon us. Praying now that, Lord, you would continue to help us to serve you with the life and strength that you give us in this day. In your name we pray. Amen. Please stand as we sing.